Time now for Vikings Fan Line on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Your chance to talk about today's game with the Vikings broadcast team. Add to the conversation on Vikings Fan Line by calling 651-989-KFAN or toll free 1-800-320-5326. Now, it's your reaction to all the action. Vikings Fan Line. Here's KFAN's Ron Johnson and Corey Cove.
Vikings lose 24-10 to the Chicago Bears, and with the Eagles 24-0 win over Washington, the Vikings season has come to an end. So this is the final Minnesota Vikings Fan Line of the season. Along with Ron Johnson, I'm Corey Cove. Hi, Ron.
How's it going, Corey?
It's over for the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, they never got anything going offensively today. No
Not
rhythm.
A one.
Dalvin Cook said it in the locker room just seconds ago with Greg Coleman. Nothing offensively at all. Defense couldn't get off the field on third down. The Bears kind of toyed with us in the second half. A 14-point defeat when you absolutely had to have it.
Yeah, I mean, and we said it over and over again, I think every pregame, every show, everybody today, it was leave it all on the field. I feel like there was still a lot left in the tank because I don't know if Stefanski, the moment was too big for him. I don't know if he overthought the Khalil Mack factor because the guards were the ones that were struggling. Rimmers and Compton today struggled, and so it just didn't feel like they had a game plan for how to deal with that front seven. Like it literally just felt like, hey, let's come in, see what we do. And let's see how it goes.
So Stefanski gets essentially a three-game audition as offensive coordinator after John DeFilippo was fired. His first game, right, that first quarter was insane. They put up a bunch of points, and they put up an NFL high for the season, 202 yards in that first quarter. And everybody's like, wow, that was a nice change. We should have done this weeks ago. Since then, the two games since then, they started the game with 4 3-and-outs against Detroit, and they did it again today against the Bears. 4 consecutive 3-and-outs to start the game.
Yeah, and I know Zimmer was pissed. He brought it up against the Lions, and he said, you know, that's not the way you want to start, but hey, we got the win. I think he could have had the same feeling today. There was a time at one point I think we all were feeling like, hey, the Vikings are going to get this together. Like, it'll come together in the end. And then the Bears put a 16-play drive together and just put the nail in the coffin. Not only that, then they went for two, and that pretty much ended it. I think that was kind of the nail in the coffin. The longest touchdown drive of the season, the chance for your defense to stand up and help your offense out. Yes, the defense did all they could, but just wasn't enough.
I'm going to slightly disagree. When you have the season on the line and 2 minutes to go and you're down 14, it's not over yet. And I hated our final 2 minutes. I know half the stands were gone because mathematically it's a long
shot. There's always a chance for a miracle and
many 3- and 4-yard routes are we going to dump it off to inbounds? These aren't like, wow, I got nothing open. I'm going to hit somebody on the sideline that's 4 yards down. He can at least run out of bounds. The clock will stop. These were 3- and 4-yard pass plays that are going to keep the clock running. You're not getting anywhere. And the season is on the line. I hate the, let's just go to next year. It's like, you have to try really, really hard for 2 more minutes.
Yeah, I felt like
and
they played behind.
That was the best we mustered up in the final 2 minutes. I thought that was embarrassing.
Yeah, they played from behind the sticks all game. I don't know if Stefanski has that, where he has a bunch of quick strike, quick deep ball plays. I said at the end of the first half, if no huddle gets you some type of offense, run no huddle the rest of the game. And then they come back out with that lethargic type of offense. He should have went no huddle, tempo, got Kirk Cousins firing on all cylinders, you know, subbing guys in and out, doing some hand signals, putting Dalvin Cook out of receiver, Latavius Murray in the backfield. I mean, we just saw, and Paul Allen might have said it too, it was vanilla. Like, he called it during the game. It was a vanilla, and we've talked about that. Where are the sprinkles? Where's the whipped cream? Where's the cherry on top? There was nothing. It was vanilla ice cream for this offense the entire game. Stefanski had to do more, and he couldn't get it done.
The fans on Twitter, I know during the game, were unbelievably frustrated. A lot of hate getting slung
on
Twitter.
Are those fans or trolls, though?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Like, I think we saw that. You can be critical and still be a fan.
True.
651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. Who do you blame? What do you do? Right now that the season is over, a lot of times Minnesota Vikings fan line, the final one of the year turns into, you know, like a memoriam. Like, let's look back on what went wrong. And before we do that, Ron, though, let's go to the podium because quarterback Kirk Cousins is answering questions.
Really more their call, and I'm not going to, you know, voice publicly my opinions from that standpoint. You know, I'll let them do that. And obviously, you know, we have a good sample size from this year to evaluate and see where we need to improve.
regarding this year's with the talent you guys have on the team, why do you feel you weren't that competitive in games against the upper echelon teams?
You know, I don't have a blanket answer for you to say it was just X. I think it's a combination of factors through a combination of games. It's never as simple as one thing to just say this is why.
In terms of getting this deep into a season, would you hope to be on the same page a little bit more with Adam and others, and so those?
Oh no! We're on the same page. You know, Adam had 100 and number of catches, 1,000 yards, a Pro Bowler, should be All Pro. You know, we're very much on the same page. I just think that, you know, years and years of working together, it's going to get to where you're starting to finish each other's sentences, kind of a thing. So, we're very much on the same page, and I really enjoyed working with my teammates. It's a really good group, and that also is something I look forward to as well.
You had 20 completions for a total of just over 130 yards. Is that more a factor of the time you had, or the secondary taking away the downfield?
You know, combination. I think it's a really good pass rush. I think we didn't have a lot of time of possession. When you don't convert third downs, you're not going to stay on the field. So just a number of reasons.
Kurtz, do you think this will be an offseason where you have to block out some noise from people who might consider this season a disappointment?
It is a disappointment. You know, I don't think it's up for interpretation. You know, it wasn't what we wanted, what our fan base wanted, and it's okay to be disappointed. I think, if anything, it'll sharpen us and give us an edge as we prepare for next year, and I think that's a good thing. I always block it out. I don't, go and try to read it all, because it's not going to do me any good. So, I listen to the people I need to listen to, and they coach me well, and that's the only opinion I need to get, to be the player I need to be. So I'll just continue the same routine I've always had going back now, 7 years in this league.
Talked about how bad you felt Washington 2 years ago when you had a chance to get it. How does this rank among
the disappointments of some losses? You know, I don't have a menu in front of me of all the tough losses. I'll tell you, it's not the first. Won't be the last. It's a part of the journey. You play in this league long enough, you're going to get kicked in the teeth. It's going to happen. Tough times don't last. Tough people do, right? I'm going to, have a lot of intestinal fortitude and just keep moving forward, keep going. And believe that when we do it here, it's going to be special. And that's what we're building for.
Kirk, how do you think held this offense back, being able to find its identity on a consistent basis this season?
I don't know. I don't know that it's any one thing. Frankly, I think each week you adjust your offense to what you need to do to win. So you do what you need to do to be successful, and it's not the same thing every week. So, it's okay to change your identity from week to week if necessary. But, it's not any one thing.
Kirk, about blocking out the noise, some fans and people just thought you would come here and take them to the Super Bowl. And, of course, that's every team's goal. But do you personally feel that this team had that talent to have done that and you guys shot yourself in the foot, or that was unrealistic expectations on your life?
I think that question's hard to answer. 32 teams set out in April to win the Super Bowl. Only one does. 31 teams go home unhappy. That was what Mike Shanahan told me day one when I first showed up after the draft in 2012. 31 teams are unhappy at the end of the year and don't live up to what the goal was. And that's what you sign up for, and you understand that. You want to be the one that's happy, but there's 31 that aren't. And so I don't know that when you don't win it that it's that you say, oh, we didn't do this or didn't do that. I think you just realize, hey, we got to get better.
Kirk, would you like Kevin Stefanski to return as the permanent postseason?
I've enjoyed working with Kevin. He's a great person, a great football mind. He's been here a long time. But he's going to have options too, and so hopefully he wants to work with me. It goes both ways. But he's been a joy to work with.
All right, the Vikings lose 24-10 to the Bears. That was the voice of Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins. I know a lot of you are fired up. You want to talk, so let's do this. 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. All of your phone calls after this. That's Ron Johnson. I'm Corey Coven. This has been a
Mitch Trubisky, first and goal from the 6, out of the shotgun. Gives it to Jordan Howard. Lowers the helmet at the 4, and he plows into the end zone. It's a touchdown for the Chicago Bears. 6 plays, 71 yards. Jordan Howard doing the brunt of the work. And in the win and in scenario for the Vikings, they trail 6-0. First and goal from the one. Tight end to the left. Handoff Howard up the middle. Lowers the helmet at the one and plunges into the end zone. Touchdown, Chicago Bears. Jordan Howard has two rushing touchdowns this game. He has 9 on the season. And the NFC North champs lead the Vikings 13-0.
They go on to win 24-10 over the Vikes, effectively knocking the Vikings out because that loss paired with the Philadelphia Eagles win does officially eliminate the Vikings from postseason opportunities. Ron, we can sum up the entire game with this. The Bears on third down were 8 of 14. That's where the Vikings have been good all season long, right? One of the best in the NFL at getting off the field on third down.
Yep.
Bears were 8 of 14. Conversely, the Vikings 1 of 11.
Yeah, it was bad.
On third down. Yuck. 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. Let's see what the fans think. Let's try Ron in St. Paul. Hi, Ron.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Fine.
Hey, I've been a Vikings fan since 1964, so I know a little about football. And maybe these guys should have played football in the locker room, because every time a microphone is in their face, they know what they did wrong and they know what they did right. We just paid a quarterback $80 million guaranteed, and he just got his ass kicked by a rookie. Last year, we go to the playoffs with Philly, and the second-string quarterback comes in and kicks their butts. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you guys anymore. And this is not about you guys on the radio. This is not about Paul Allen. This is about the fans. You know what we look for every year?
No.
Until August? Training camp. We go on out to the stadium out here in Eagan, which I just live 3 miles away. And I was so excited about football.
Yeah.
And you come up with some pretty boy quarterback. You know, it's a good thing that Ziggy is in real estate because he knows nothing about football.
Spielman's
got to go. No. Yeah. Spielman's got to go, and okay. The head coach has got to go.
All right. What about pretty boy quarterback? Would you like Kirk Cousins a lot more if he was significantly less attractive and paid less? He's gone.
I brought this up numerous times about this quarterback thing. There's 5 other quarterbacks paid more who did not make the playoffs either. So, and Kirk Cousins is not a pretty boy. I mean, I guess girls say he's cute, but I wouldn't call him a pretty boy. Like, he doesn't take pictures.
Let's debate his level of attractiveness at 6'5". No. And by the way, my favorite thing is the resume. I've been watching football since 1964. My dad's 80. He doesn't know anything about football. He's been watching it forever. That has nothing to do with it.
I've been watching movies since 1984.
Yeah. I've been watching TV forever. You have, too. You still watch garbage. You watch Bull.
Bull is a good show.
Oh, see? You don't even know what you're talking about.
Bird
You've been watching
box.
TV since you were little. David in Minneapolis. Hi, David. David.
Hey, guys. Dave Willick, Minneapolis. My final call of the season.
Go for it.
I don't know how I follow that call, Corey. That's a tough one to follow.
Well, do you think Kirk Cousins is hot?
I'm not even going there. That's hilarious.
How long
That's
have you been hilarious. Watching football, David? Give me your resume. When did you start liking the Vikings?
Sadly, I've been watching for 40 years, and I still don't know that much about football.
Yeah, that's
football,
not long enough. That is not long enough.
40 years, how's your math, though? Apparently. What year was that?
Yeah, he doesn't know. Yeah, he doesn't apparently. Know math. David, what's on your mind, though? What do you think?
Before I give my quick comment and question to end the season, the first thing I want to tell you, both do a fantastic job on this radio station, and me and my family, the Cherneys, we love you guys. You guys do a great, great job. Keep it going next year.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
My comment is this, is that it's tough because I'll let you guys talk about all the other stuff. I'll focus on 2 things. One is I think going into next season, we obviously have to get help with the offensive line. I can't put it all on Kirk Cousins, okay? Did I think that he underperformed for many games this season? Yeah, but I also think, in fairness to him, I don't think an offensive line blocked for him. I don't think he has even today. I don't think he had even 2 seconds to get rid of the ball. So I think the offensive line is a big need, and I want to ask you guys if you both agree that that's a really big need for us to start to take it to the next step. Number 2, Kirk Cousins, obviously, I think he could have played better throughout the season. But more importantly, what's a little troubling is that Trubisky, weren't you guys frustrated when you saw that he was getting rushed and hurried and we were in his face but they seem to get first downs. And when we had our rush on our quarterback, we just couldn't get anything going. So I want you guys to comment on that, and I wish you both a happy New Year's. For me and the attorneys, we wish you both a great, great New Year, and I'll hang up with this.
Appreciate it. Let's start with let's start with point two and work backwards.
Okay.
Well, Trubisky can run.
He can. Right? Exactly.
I'm really impressed with Trubisky's arm.
But we already knew that.
When he has time, and maybe I don't really care if he's a one-read guy, two-read guy, three-read guy. I don't care. Actually, he's a pretty accurate guy. But when the pocket collapses, he's a pretty nifty runner. And
yeah.
He showed that multiple times. Tom Johnson almost had him for a sack. Trubisky escaped and picked up a first down. He keeps drives going. I like Trubisky with his feet. So, yeah, I don't know if that has much to say about the Bears' offensive line or more just about his athleticism.
Yeah, I mean, we've said that. Like, that's part of his game. And I was talking to one of the coaches, and it came up that if Trubisky could not run, if he was, like, stuck in the mud like Matthew Stafford, he would not be as good because he can't beat you with his arm. He beats you, as we saw with the secondary play, when he escapes the rush. When he's able to just roll out, if there's no receiver open, his first thought is run. He's not thinking, I'm going to wait and pass. Kirk Cousins is opposite. When he rushes out, he's thinking, okay, let me just get enough space to try to throw this ball, and then you see him throwing it to the stands or on the sideline. So that's Trubisky's game. Like, he's a running quarterback. They run the RPO and the zone read with him. I mean, that's their game. They want him to run the ball.
So, Reef, Compton.
Correct. Gone.
Elfline.
Yeah, Elfline's good.
Remmers.
Good.
And then what? Hill/O'Neal. Right?
So,
but O'Neal.
Sorry, no, not Reef. Sorry, I meant Compton and Remmers. So the guards, they have to change that out.
So the guards are out, but how do you feel about the other three?
I like O'Neal.
Elfline.
I think Elfline and Reef did, they were serviceable. Like, you can't replace everybody. Like, there's no way, I mean, unless Costco is going to have a sale on offensive linemen next week for New Year's, there's no way you're going to find four new offensive linemen to play with Pat Elfline. So you look at who did pretty good. I think Brian O'Neill is a project, and he worked out pretty well this year. I think Reef does his job when he needs to. I think the missing piece, what we saw with Easton and Berger, are guards. Easton and Berger were really good guards who played center, so they were able to work well with Elfline. I think it's, you know, the Isadora piece, I think he looked good when he was in there. So if he's the guy maybe next year, you need to draft or get a free agent guard who can come in and at least give you 2 years. So finding a 30 or 31-year-old is not bad. But if he can give you, as long as he can give you two good years, because you want to get two good years out of him and Kirk Cousins, as well as this Thielen contract and all these guys you pay $72 million to, because that's your bubble window right now, is about 2 years before you have to blow it all up and start over again.
So there's always variables in any season, in any sport, that you probably can't see coming, right?
Yep.
Even the fans can't go back and do hindsight and go, well, I knew that was going to happen, or I knew this was going to happen. Right? There are things that change, and GMs and coaches and players have to react, right?
100%.
The only difference with this season is, I think if you look back now at the end of the season, since the season is officially over for the Vikings because they've been eliminated, the most frustrating thing I think for most fans is if you go all the way back to before the season started, all of us unanimously said the number one concern is this offensive line.
Yeah.
And if you watch the entire season play out, that was the trickle-down problem all year long. Even if you want to back up John DeFilippo, like, let's say you're a fan of his and you thought he got a raw deal here, you could still argue with what Kirk was doing early in the year, with what Thielen was doing, which was historic. There were some kind of crazy stats happening, considering we didn't have a very good offensive line.
Correct.
And I remember when the Heat first got on John DeFilippo, it was, well, how much are we truly seeing of his strategy or his plan or his playbook? Because this line isn't giving his quarterback time to execute his plan.
Right.
So now let's fast forward offensive line problems to Kevin Stefanski. Right. Zimmer basically said, when somebody asked him a couple of weeks ago, is he auditioning, truly auditioning for his job, or is he pretty much locked in as the OC next year? And Zimmer said basically, no, it'd be really good for him if he did well.
Right.
He did really well in game one. He did not do well in game two and game three, right? Horrifically slow starts, and today you absolutely couldn't afford a slow start.
Yep.
And if you look at the first half specifically, most of the slow start was that interior offensive line that you were talking about.
Right.
The Bears just killed us, and nothing could get up and running. Kirk didn't have any time. Four consecutive three and outs for the second consecutive week.
But I'm going to give him the pass on that, because to his
Talking about Stefanski.
I'm going to give him a pass because I think, like you said, the first game was great. I tell you, the Lions game, at least he won the game. Yeah, it was a slow start, but he won the game. I think that's the key. He found a way to get Kyle Rudolph going. Granted, there was a Hail Mary in there, but he found a way to get Kyle Rudolph going. I thought today should have been another Kyle Rudolph type of day because clearly the Bears were not going to let you beat them with Thielen and Diggs. And for some reason, and I could see the frustration in Kyle's face when he was walking into the locker room, they didn't use Kyle the way they should have today. It should have been a lot of, you know, double move seam routes and some other stuff in the middle of the field because the safeties were taking the corner routes away whenever Diggs or Thielen. I mean, the one to Thielen that Kirk threw it a little short, and it looked like him and Thielen were on two different pages. They had a little argument on the sideline.
Which wasn't nearly as bad as Twitter made it.
No.
Every sports website in the world tweeted that Cousins and Thielen got into a fight.
No, because if you show...
They just looked like they were having a discussion. And it may be a semi-heated discussion.
But no, but if you show the whole thing, like somebody else played the whole conversation after that. And after that, Kirk is like over there showing him, like, you stepped in and then you went out too high. I want you to kind of snap it across. Yeah, like that's just what two guys talk about. Like, and especially those two.
There was
like,
no fingers in the face. Yeah, there was no middle fingers.
Like, I've seen the Donovan McNabb, Terrell Owens fight where they're running up and down the sideline chasing each other, MFing each other.
Nobody had to be separated.
It was, Nothing at all.
They were obviously both disappointed and frustrated, but not necessarily.
Like, that would be a great voiceover argument for somebody to voice that over because there was nothing
bad
in there. Yeah, bad lips. It was nothing in there. It was, you know, it was, hey, you take it high. You took it high because it looks like he was telling him, like, you took it high. I wanted you to break it across because there was no safety, blah, blah, whatever it was. So the miscommunication, I think, Kirk's mind was these safeties are over the top the whole game. The other piece of that is the middle of the freaking field is wide open. They're not playing. I mean, they are playing a Tampa 2, but Kyle can get behind the middle linebackers. If you watch those 3-4 linebackers, they don't get huge depth. They were more so worried about Dalvin Cook underneath. So it should have been Dalvin on like a bubble or some kind of hook and then put Kyle Rudolph behind him. Like, there was no baiting of the safeties and getting a guy behind him. I mean, everything looked pretty. I mean, like PA said, I'm going to go back to it. It looked vanilla. Like, it looked very basic.
To all the people before the game that were saying, I don't want to back into the postseason.
Right.
Let's just go out and beat the Bears and win. Having Washington bail us out is no fun. I'm going to change your mind now. Right. A playoff game is better than no playoff game. So if the Vikings had lost 24-10, if Washington had beaten Philly 30-10.
Right.
Would anybody be complaining that we got our butts kicked by the Bears and snuck in?
I don't think they would.
I think anybody would take
a playoff game.
More phone calls after this. Vikings lose 24-10 to the Bears and are eliminated from postseason contention. This is Minnesota Vikings football.
Tight end Burton to the right. Hand off to Rick Owens. Burns up the middle and into the end zone. Touchdown, Chicago Bears. Their third rushing touchdown this game. And for Tariq Cohen, his eighth touchdown this season, third rushing, 19-10, Chicago. Amukamara in motion to the right, back to the left. Prince Amukamara in the game on offense. Now he's back in motion to the right and back to the left. And Trubisky back to pass, floats it to the end zone, and it is caught for the two. It was caught by Nick Kwiatkowski, a linebacker.
Yeah, just messing with us, right? Just messing with the Vikings. And a part of the formula, Ron, was the Bears had nothing to play for if the Rams won.
Right.
And for most of that game, the Rams were blowing out the San Francisco 49ers. They ended up winning by 16, which is still a quote-unquote blowout, 48-32. But it wasn't even that close for most of the game, right? Most of the game, it was pushing 24-28-point leads.
At one point, I think it was 24-0. The Rams, I think, took their player. I saw when I was watching from the suite, they took some of their players out.
Yeah,
they started.
The Bears never truly called off the dogs. I know in the fourth quarter when this game was kind of out of reach or seemingly out of reach, then the starters kind of started to get pulled. But they didn't. Matt Nagy didn't really react to the Rams game. I thought he was more reacting to this game. Right. When this game was over, he started making the pull. I know the joke on Twitter. I was flying. It wasn't mine. I'm saying it was, but I saw it about 1,000 times. And I think there's some truth to it. There's a part of me that if I'm Matt Nagy and I see how much the Bears dominated the Vikings today, I find a way to let the Vikings win and come to Soldier Field next week.
Yeah.
Now
I can see that.
Because they also at the time didn't know that Nick Foles was hurt, right? Because Foles got hurt. That completely changes it. Because then I would say you clearly want what is it, Sudfeld? What the hell is the backup's name?
No, yeah.
You want Foles as backup for sure in the Eagles to come to Soldier Field, right? But a healthy Nick Foles, I think I'd rather have this Vikings team go there if I'm the Bears. But obviously now with Philly's situation potentially changing with the Foles injury, who knows? But for most of the second half, people are going, why aren't the Bears letting the Vikings just win so they have to go?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I said the same thing. Everybody's like, well, I don't know. This Vikings team's giving them trouble. It's like,
not really.
How much trouble are they really giving? Right. Like,
almost
it was never
none.
Really there. But yeah, Nate Sudfeld.
Whoever the hell
so,
that is.
Right. So if Foles is... you know, can't go, that's who you want.
Bears,
I mean, that's like, you know, getting, what's the kid, Nate Peterman, you know, that's like, and he got picked up again, golly. So, you know, that's one of those things where it's not the Eagles' year. Now, who knows? Now, if Nate Sudfeld all of a sudden has the Nick Foles magic and there's some kind of prairie dust they're going to spray on him too, I mean, my goodness, it's their year. But, no, I think the Bears' defense right now, John Gruden should take part. If they get a ring, John Gruden should get one too. Because, I mean, it's he put that team together. Like, that's all they needed was one piece.
Tyler in Texas, you are on Minnesota Vikings Fan Line. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Great.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I guess the two things that really stick out for me is, A, if you're a head coach and you hang your hat on your defense, you got to play better defense. I mean, Zimmer's defense has not been – I mean, sure, they're highly ranked and they have a lot of, a lot of things that kind of stick out that make them look like a good defense, but on paper – but when it comes down to the games, they seem to just get gouged over and over again. And the other thing that sticks out to me is that they just don't seem like a modern team in any way, whether it's special teams, offense, defense. Nothing about this team is modern. It's like 1980s and 1990s football, and you're not gonna compete with these guys that are drawing up some, you know, amazing plays and figuring you out. You have to have something in your back pocket that's gonna pull something out of the bag of tricks that's gonna get the job done. I just don't think that Zimmer has that, or I don't think he trusts it. I don't know, but it just feels like they're just playing such an old school style of football that just is not gonna be able to compete with these modern NFL teams.
All right, thanks for the jumping off point, Tyler, because we can talk about that. Ron, so if you look around the league, right, everybody's trying to find the next Sean McVay, maybe even the Matt Nagy's of the world, right?
Yep.
These young kind of freak offensive minds that can put up a whole bunch of points, use creativity, use formations we haven't seen. And obviously Tyler and other fans are expressing frustration that Zim doesn't seem to be that guy, right? Zim is a throwback guy.
Yep.
If you listen to him talk, he's throwback. If you... watches fourth down strategies basically in the last 3, 4, 5 years, or when to punt, when to go for two. I think he's kind of picking up the pace on that. I think maybe he's got some help there. But otherwise, for most of the last 4 or 5 years, I felt like he is old school guy stuck in his ways and probably not super forward thinking when it comes to game theory and analytics and when you should go for two and when you shouldn't and things like that.
Right.
It's not like he has a lot of equity. He doesn't have a Super Bowl win. He doesn't have, you know, multiple Super Bowl appearances. He has what, one playoff win?
Yep.
Is it one?
No.
So one or two? One maybe? No, I'm not. I'm forgetting. But my point is how much equity does he have? Because clearly the fans were very frustrated with Zimmer today. They were frustrated with the Zimmer defense in Philadelphia last year in the NFC title game. Defense didn't show up again today. And they're like, well, all right, if defense is your calling card and your defense doesn't show up in the biggest moments, then isn't that back on you? So my question to you, Ron, let's go scale 0 to 10.
It might be 1, now that I think about it, because they had the bye week, and then they beat the Saints, and
okay,
they lost to the Seahawks.
The miracle?
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
So it might be 1 win.
0 is they have absolutely no reason to fire him. He's 100% safe. Mm-hmm. 10, he's out the door. How hot, 0 to 10, is his seat?
I mean, looking at the rest of these guys, and I know – what's his name? Jay Glazer talked about all the coaches getting fired. I look at their situation and they're out the door. I think Zimmer's a 2. Like, I think he
deserves criticism.
I think he deserves a little criticism for sure.
But what would you specifically criticize? Like, where do you think the blame falls on Zim?
I honestly, and I know this is tough to even say this, but I think possibly is because he said it. He said he needs to be more dialed into the offense. I think that's the criticism. He should relinquish the reins of the defensive calling. Let George Edwards fly. Like, let him become a butterfly. Like, he's been in a cocoon for, what, 4 or 5 years now? Let him spread his wings. Let him be a butterfly. Let him go out there, call the plays, run your defense. It's going to be your defense. Like, you're still the head coach, but let him put his stamp on it. Let him, you know, put his name out there to become a next head coach at some point. He needs to be more in the special teams rooms, in the offensive game planning. Because to do it after the fact of DeFilippo leaving shows that you should have been doing it from the start. So I think that's where the criticism lies, is this offense was a little bit, you know, just stagnant. It never had pop. Like, the Dolphins game was the pop. We're like, whoa. The 49ers game, that first one, I think, was a trick-or-treat moment. Like, whoa, here's a treat. Mm-hmm. And then tricked us for the rest of the season because it was bland. You know, every once in a while, there'd be some good throws from Cousins. There'd be some great Thielen game. I think the 100-yard – honestly, I think those 100-yard games for Thielen, the 8 straight or 9 straight, I think that – we were watching that and forgot to watch what this offense really looked like. Like, I think we got – we it was like putting wool over our eyes. Like, it was just like, hey – I'm going to show you guys something great. Here's Adam Thielen. Talk about Adam Thielen. Stop looking at my offense. Don't look behind the curtain. Mm. You know, like, you know, what's the yellow brick road person?
Yeah, pay no attention to the man
behind the curtain. Yeah, exactly. Don't look at the offense. Don't worry about DeFilippo. Don't look at him back there. Just watch Adam Thielen. Look at the treat. I'm giving you to Adam Thielen. I'm going to watch the chef cook. You know, like, we didn't pay attention to the actual metrics, and I'm going to give you a number. As far as drives, drive success rate. So how many successful offensive drives did they have? This year, they were 23rd. Last year, they were 9th. 178 last year. Before this game, 175. So same number of drives. So don't try to say, oh, it's a big difference and they had way more drives this year. No, they didn't. They had pretty much, I mean, if they had 175 before the game started, so this, you know, maybe add 5 or 6 or 8 more, whatever it is. So 178 last year, they were 9th as far as successful drives. This year, 23rd. You can't win if you're the 23rd. I'm going to give you all the offenses behind them, and this will tell you. The Giants, hot trash. Redskins, Raiders, Browns, Jags, Dolphins, Bills, hot trash, Jets, and the terrible Cardinals. That's the 49ers were better than the Vikings. That should tell you how bad that is as far as drive success rate. So that's where the offense has to get better. Sustaining drives, getting long drives, doing what the freaking Bears did, that 16-play drive. I mean, we need more of those. So that's the thing to kind of look like in the three and outs. Way too many three and outs, and then long drives that they went against. So that's the offense not keeping the defense off the field long enough. That's where and again, Zimmer said it, it's the run game. So maybe it is the guards. Like, the guards are a big piece of your run game. That's where I think you start.
Vikings lose. Vikes are out. Eagles are in because the Eagles beat Washington 24-0. The Vikes fall to the Bears 24-10. More of your phone calls after this. This is the KFAN Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. And
the tailback is Latavius Murray. Rudolph in motion. Cousins takes the snap. He goes back to pass, looking left, firing left. Yes! Touchdown! It's left in the end zone to Stephon Diggs, and it's 13-9 Chicago.
So Dalvin Cook gets marked short, right? The Vikings hustle up to the line of scrimmage. Cousins sneaks it. He easily gets the first down. It's going to be first and goal inside the 2. Right, let's punch this thing in. Meanwhile, somebody tells Mike Zimmer to challenge the play.
Yep.
And everyone who has ever watched 1 second of Vikings football or a millennia knew that somehow this was going to come back to haunt the Vikings, right? That somehow Zimmer was going to lose the challenge, which he did.
Yep.
And I don't understand why they challenged that, because if you saw it 2 or 3 times, you could
see the equator rule.
It was going to be very tough to overturn that.
Right.
Not only was he going to lose that challenge, that we were going to get stuffed on fourth down, and they almost freaking did.
Oh, yeah, it was close.
Yeah, in fact, it was so close, I'm very surprised that they didn't show another angle or two, or that Matt Nagy didn't say, you know what, I haven't seen enough angles, but I'm not convinced that Dalvin Cook got there.
Right.
So, because he barely got it.
Yeah.
And the next play, Stephon Diggs catches that touchdown that we just heard. But for a second there, and by the way, that made it 13-10.
Right.
That got the Vikings back in there. If Dalvin was stood up there on fourth down, and it's 13-3, and you get stuffed there, I mean, the whole thing starts derailing because of the Zimmer scenario.
Correct.
Because Zimmer challenged it when Cousins snuck for the first.
Correct.
If he gets stuck there, I think the air gets sucked out of the whole building. And it's one of those, this just isn't our day. Nothing's going our way.
100%.
It's over.
Yeah, I think the fans would have erupted. There would have been boos for the rest of the game.
There were plenty anyway.
Yeah. I mean, they would have, it would have, I mean, there might have been stuff thrown onto the field in that line, in that end zone specifically. I don't know if Stefanski didn't tell Zimmer, hey, I'm just going to sneak it. Let's, you know, the Bears aren't really paying attention because they're looking just like everybody else. Are you going to challenge it? Like, play chess. Like, pull the flag out like you're going to throw it and then let him just sneak it. Because Nagy was looking, I was watching, because Nagy was looking over here too, like, you know, what's he going to do? Like, line up. Well, no, they're going to throw the flag. It just seemed weird to me. And especially the fact that the nose guard had lined up, and this is something that most people wouldn't have noticed, he lined up on the wrong side of the center. That's why Kirk hurried up and snapped it, because he realized, like, wait a minute, the nose guard is shaded the wrong way, and the tackle is shaded to the other way. So between the guard, because never on goal line, you never do this. Everybody has a gap on goal line. But between the guard and the center to Kirk's right, nobody was there. So that was the literally, Kirk could have Cam Newton that thing. Cam Newton, I don't know if you've noticed, he doesn't dive forward. He kind of stands up and pushes the pile because he's humongous. Kirk could have stood up and walked on top of the lineman into the end zone. I mean, I don't know if Zimmer just wanted to challenge or if somebody from the booth buzzed down and said, hey, coach, yup, because the ball was in his left arm, and that's where it's tricky. If it was in his right arm, I would say, yeah, fine, you're going to get this. But the left arm, you're not going to get that. They're going to say the ball is on this side of that marker, and there's nothing to overturn it. And that's why, and vice versa. If they had called a first down and Nagy challenged it, I think they would have let it stand too, because they can't tell. Stuff like that.
And by the way, Dalvin, bury yourself into that defender. Get to that line.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about that.
What a weird way to try to get the first down.
It's standing up.
Standing up.
He wanted the touchdown.
Lower your shoulder and go for it. Anyway, all right, back to the phone lines we go. 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. Let's see who we got here. How about Reese in Bloomington? Hi, Reese.
Hi. First time, long time here to make a comment back to the first caller, Ron. I think the Vikings would have had a more exciting season if they had an uglier quarterback under center.
Yep.
Someone like Paul Meatsauce Lambert.
Okay.
No, but in all seriousness, I think Spielman is out after this season. It seems to me he's making lots of concessions to Zimmer, those picks with Wayans and Hughes. I think we need someone that has the guts to take the Vikings to the promised land. There's a lot of internal candidates, I think, that might be able to take the job, and external candidates, guys out there like Burrow.
Gotcha. Hang up. Awesome. Thank you. Well, okay, so, Ron, that was kind of my point a segment or two ago when I was saying everyone knew.
What was that?
Thanks for listening to the morning show, especially the After Party podcast. The number one concern was the offensive line.
Yep.
That's how the season played out. That was the Achilles heel the entire season. They had a couple of good halves, maybe a good quarter here or there, but for the most part, that was the problem that kept coming back to bite this team.
Yeah.
Spielman knew it. Spielman's the one who's ultimately in charge of the roster, right? Whether
right.
it's the draft or free agency or trades. That crew, that front office was comfortable coming into this season with this group, and it came back to bite him. So how much pressure do you put on Rick Spielman? That what he knew he was walking into is exactly what bit him.
Yeah, I mean, they focused on the pieces they had to, and I think the biggest glaring, and we all said it, but of course after the fact, was the offensive line. So there's only so many holes you can fill. Quarterback, they stared at that all offseason. They got that filled. When you come in looking at what your offensive line is going to look like, you know, I think we talked about drafting a possible guard, Hernandez or whoever, but, you know, Mike Hughes fell into their lap, and they were like, hey, and it ended up being a great pick until he got hurt. So when you're looking at the other pieces of the puzzle and Spielman, I personally think he's fine just because of the guys he's found, like an Adam Thielen, the late-round draft pick of Stephon Diggs. You know, Kyle Rudolph, you know, if you look at Harrison Hunter. Smith, Kyle Rudolph, Danielle Hunter, Everson Griffin, all those guys working out to his favor, we have to stop with the what have you done for me lately. Like, what have you done for me lately is this year. Let's rewind it to last year. Case Keenum, great find, did a great job, blah, blah. So it happened. I mean, Kirk Cousins' first year wasn't a success. like Zimmer said, if we don't go to the playoffs, I don't think it's a success. It wasn't a success. Like, that's what you want. That's the only way that we can measure it. You know, we can't look at stats and we can't look – playoffs or not, nope, okay, season over, was a success, let's move on to next year.
All right, I literally need yes or no, no more than that, because then I have a bigger question for you in a second, okay? But let's just get your solid, quick yes or no take. Spielman back, yes or no?
Yes.
Zimmer back, yes or no?
Yes.
Kevin Stefanski back, yes or no?
Ah! As offensive coordinator, yes.
Okay. Mike Prefer back, yes or no?
That's another tough one. But I'm going to say yes with a kicking coach probably added to the mix.
I think that's a no. I think he's gone.
Okay.
That's my guess. All right, now I need your list of Vikings players who you believe have played their final game for the Vikings. Ooh. For whatever reason.
Yeah. So
age, money, talent, whatever it is.
So I'm thinking Brett Jones, Dan Bailey, Shurls, Johnson, Tom Johnson. Compton, Ioloka right now. And then the Rudolph thing, I know you talked about that. I think he's fine. His contract doesn't expire. He has one, you know, 2019, he can play through it. I don't see somebody out there worth getting for him.
Yeah.
The Anthony Barr one is tricky for me. He is a free agent next year. Do you get Sheldon Richardson or Anthony Barr? Anthony Barr is explosive. He looked good. Can you find another three technique like Sheldon Richardson, or do you get another outside linebacker? That's the one where I'm up in the air.
And Sheldon's expensive, right? So, I mean.
Yeah, he possibly. It depends on the market. Like, do they let. Because they're going to let him go out.
Right.
And then they'll see what the market offers him. He possibly could be expensive, but was he a product of this defense? You know, because it was, well, you know, he did. We also, I think he was a Pro Bowler with the Jets or whatever, but it was a show. This was a show me year. He showed he was unselfish. He played within the scheme. Is it, does he want a ton of money, or will he take maybe not a haircut to stay here and possibly, you know, go to a Super Bowl next year?
Do you believe only one of the two between Waynes and Barr returns?
No, I think two of the three will return.
No, but I'm saying between Barr and Waynes. Do you think the theory all year long that they can only really afford to keep one of those two is going to end up being true, that they keep one of the two?
Well, yeah. Well, so, because Waynes is under contract for one more year. His unexpired 2020.
Right, but they picked up the fifth-year option on him, but they also can basically walk away from that before the new league year starts, I believe, with zero dead money. So they technically could release him before the year starts.
Correct, and not pay him.
And they're off the charts.
Yeah, but, I mean,
off the books.
Did he get what, because, like, you have to look at the rehab, and that's the thing. They're going to look at the deadlines.
Yep.
You know, they're going to be honest with him because you don't want to leave a bad taste in his mouth if they, you know, if they hold him to him too long and then cut him anyway. I think they're going to be very honest with him and Anthony Barr. Anthony Barr is going to hit the market. Like, the only way, you know, unless you franchise him and piss him off, that's the only real way to do that, to keep him, and that could happen. So if they franchise him and then they, you know, keep Trey Waynes under his contract and Zimmer can somehow keep them happy. But I think Anthony Barr would be disgruntled if he doesn't get, you know, $55, $60 million. Mm.
Like Kendrick Scott.
Correct.
Jake in Northfield. Hi, Jake.
Hey, I just have a couple things to say. I'm going to keep it short. But just going to stick up for Kirk a little bit. I think one of the callers mentioned it earlier. I don't think you can blame everything on him when you have an O-line that can't even keep him upright for minimal amounts of time. On top of that, can't move the OLS in the run game, so we're one-dimensional. And also, just all these people, and there hasn't been any on yet, but I'm seeing it like crazy on Twitter, that tonight determined whether or not he was worth $84 million. If we go 16-0 the next 2 years and win two Super Bowls, I don't want to hear it then, because tonight determined it. He was not worth the money. And I think it's just so crazy and such a terrible take. Just, I don't want to hear any of you for the next 2 years then.
But do you think he's a pretty boy, though? You think he's a pretty boy?
No, but you know what? To Jake's point, it's a really weird spot, because as soon as he signed the three-year $84 million deal, Vikings fans who, outside of Brett Favre in 09, have had a really rough run for a long, long time, right? All the way back to Culpepper. I think what Jake's point is we forget the year that Kirk just had is an anomaly for Vikings quarterbacks, right? We're not used to a quarterback putting up these kind of numbers, that kind of completion percentage, touchdowns, yards, the whole bit, right? He's essentially now in the top, what, 4, 5, 6 years in Vikings history of quarterbacking this year statistically? So it's like, all right, the team didn't perform up to our standards, but Kirk really kind of, for the most part, did his part. Now, was he Patrick Mahomes or Drew Brees? Absolutely not, right? He's not that top five range. But don't you think Kirk's in that next group of, I don't know, somewhere between, what, 10 and 16-ish? right? A little bit better than that. Like, right, something like maybe just outside the top 10, top 10 to 16.
As far as all the quarterbacks.
Yeah, he's in that 10 to 16 range, I think. I don't think he's in the bottom half of the league, and you basically paid to say we want the quarterback
position
solidified.
And depends
solidified.
On the stat you're talking about, though. I mean, if we just were to overall take overall, I personally put him in the, 7 to 10, I think, personally. Overall, 7 to 10, based off everything he can do and then everything, like the caller said, everything he's been given. If you look at time to throw, that's to me where the caller kind of hit the nail on the head is he didn't have time to throw the ball. I mean, if you look at across the league, all these guys, whether it's good or bad or ugly or whoever, and, what time differential is and can he throw, in your opinion, how long do you think the offensive line has given him, if you had to guess?
On average. I'll say, 3 seconds.
Not even. 2 seconds. Mm. So that's the problem. Their average is like 2.5 seconds. You look at a guy like, and again, across the board, Josh Allen. I mean, now he creates time for himself, and Lamar Jackson as well, and Russell Wilson's at 3 seconds. So those are guys that are creating time to throw the ball. But then you look at Deshaun Watson, 3 seconds, Aaron Rodgers, 3 seconds, Jared Goff, 3 seconds. You know what I mean? Like, you're seeing the picture. We're only talking about a half of a second. But if you watch that first bull rush on Kirk Cousins by, I think it was number 91, Goldman. I mean, Tom Compton.
No chance.
Like, no chance. Yeah. Like, he gave him a jab step like he was, Andrew Wiggins on a crossover. And he just kind of stood there and guy ran right around him. Like, if Kirk Cousins doesn't have guys that are to understand the concept, if you're man blocking, you don't give up the inside if you're the guard. You make him run the loop outside of you. You don't let him come back inside. So that's some of the little things where it's just like, give him some time. Give him some time to throw the ball. He doesn't have time, and that's one of the issues. Like, if you give him 3 seconds, I think he's up there. Like, he's going to be up there, and he's going to pick guys apart. He's going to have time to throw the ball. I mean, because his deep balls are not thrown precisely because I feel like he's just throwing it super early, and he can't even really gauge. Like, that one Aldrick Robinson, the crowd booed, he just was getting rid of the ball. Like, I don't think he
just
was
threw it into empty space.
Yeah, like, I don't think he was even trying to throw the ball to Aldrick. And that's the thing. Like, he didn't have time. He was about to get, and I think he got, didn't he get the, wasn't that the one he got hit and then got bumped and got the roughing the passer on that one? Was that the one?
Don't remember.
But, like, that's the problem. Like, he doesn't have time to throw the ball. So you can't put it all on him. If you're not giving him at least 3 seconds, like, it's a problem.
All right, let's end our network season with one note of positivity. Diggs and Thielen, seventh pair of teammates in NFL history to each record 100 catches or more in a single season. Just the seventh pair of teammates to ever do that.
And if Diggs to score one more touchdown and Thielen to score one more touchdown, they'd be only two to have. They'd be the only ever to do 10 touchdowns.
10 and 100.
Yep. So,
all right, at this point, we're going to let the network go. Thanks for checking out Minnesota Vikings Fan Line and Minnesota Vikings football all season long. Locally here in the Twin Cities, we're going to do another 30 or 40 minutes of Minnesota Vikings Fan Line. If you want to keep listening, you can find the iHeartRadio app and then download it on your phone. It's absolutely free. You can find us at 100.3 FM. That's KFA. That's Ron Johnson. I'm Corey Cove, and this has been the KFAN Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Coach Mike Zimmer on the radio home of the Minnesota Vikings, FM 100.3 KFAN, the fan.
Vikings Fan Line now continues on FM 100.3 KFAN, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, and the Fan Radio Network. Vikings Fan Line on the Fan is presented by the Greater Twin Cities Honda Dealers, Safe Basements of Minnesota, Marketplace Home Mortgage, and by Youngstets. To join in on the conversation on Fanline, call 651-989-KFAN or 800-320-5326. Now it's your reaction to all the action. Vikings Fanline, along with Ron Johnson. Here's KFAN's Corey Cove.
Vikings lose to the Bears 24-10 and are eliminated from postseason contention. But here is your TPlusRide.com. Book your way play of the day.
The tailback is Latavius Murray. Rudolph in motion. Cousins takes the snap. He goes back to pass, looking left, firing left. Yes! Touchdown! Back left to the end zone to Stephon Diggs. And it's 13-9 Chicago.
Thanks again to TPlusRide.com. That is your Book Your Way play of the day. For a second, it looked like the Vikings were right back in it. That was 13-10 after the extra point by Dan Bailey, but that was as close as they got. They lose 24-10 and are out. Meanwhile, the winner-go-home game that's on Sunday Night Football right now, the Colts sticking it to Blaine Gabbert and the Titans. What is it, 14-rip right now, Ron?
Yep.
14-0, the
and
Colts
Eric
lead the Titans.
Eric Ebron having a monster season.
Resurgence.
Lions cut him or trade him or whatever happened, and the Colts have made him a Pro Bowler in 1 year.
You know the old phrase, that's one team nobody wants to play? I think the Colts are the definition of that.
Yeah, they're weird. They're streaky. Like, it's night and day sometimes with them. But, you know,
where do they start? 1-4? 1-5? Something like that? Now
Lux,
they're on fire.
When Luck's on, he's on. And that defense is a bunch of no-name. You know, it's not like they're flashy, a bunch of big-name guys. But they play together. I think that's the key. And Frank Wright. Like, that was the Eagles' offensive piece. I think was Frank Wright, because he's gone now to the Colts, and he's put his stuff in there for Luck, and Luck looks good. And Ebron, just like Zach Ertz, not saying he's him, but he's using the tight end the same way the Eagles did last year, which the Eagles are not using the tight end this year as much as they did last year. So Frank Wright has the key.
So wait a minute. You're saying when John DeFilippo came from Philadelphia,
it wasn't him.
He did not convert Kyle Rudolph into Zach Ertz.
No, but Frank Wright.
But we can blame John DeFilippo because he's not listening and he's gone.
Correct.
Got it. Yeah. Dennis in Golden Valley. Dennis, you are on Minnesota Vikings fan line. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was going to say a stat I saw today that was very appalling is that Kirk Cousins' record against winning teams after today is 4-25. Just think about that, 4-25 against winning teams. I don't know how you can pay a guy $84 million and expect him to win three or four games in the playoffs against winning teams, straight games, that is, when he's only beat four in his whole career. So
I wonder what Matthew Stafford's.
Oh, I'm sorry?
Yeah. No, nothing. No, we've heard that said. We've talked about that in the past.
Yeah, we have.
That winning against a winning team is not necessarily Kirk's thing.
That's a nice way to say it.
Yeah. He wants to. He really, really would like to find a way to win.
You're a national treasure, Corey.
Yeah, thank you. James in St. Paul. Hi, James.
Oh, it's really funny because Dennis just stole my line there, and I thought that was a really appalling stat. Right now he's 4-25. I think that should be a focal point, but I think it's unfair to Kirk to have all this hate against him because I think he's aware of it. I think a lot of players are thinking that, it takes a strong person to admit that, I don't think there was any quit on this team. I don't think there was a lack of effort. I know we can go all day long and saying who was really at fault. I was listening to this one previous caller, and I don't know if it's the same show, that this guy from Texas was saying this is not a modern team.
Yeah.
And, you know, who can ever say what football is like unless they actually played the game, you know?
I
will say that 4-25 record against winning team is very appalling to me.
Okay.
It is, but you know what's more appalling? 5 wins and 46 losses against winning teams. Guess who that is?
Matt Stafford?
Yeah.
That's not very good.
That's not good either.
No.
And he's making way more money.
Hey, you know another stat I can throw at you? This can be your we can even make this the stat of the game. Your Advanced Imaging Solutions, technology simplified for your copy, print, and IT needs. This is a closer look, Ron Johnson. I know we were going to talk about third downs, and we can get to that in a second, but for our Advanced Imaging Solutions closer look, I'll give you a number, and you tell me what I'm referring to, okay?
Okay.
And we're not used to this around here. 16.
Yeah, that's a bad joke I had. So let me change that thought. 16.
Mm-hmm.
That number of donuts meat sauce ate today.
I'd take the over. It's the number of games Kirk Cousins played this season.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at his track record, too, that's what he does.
Does not get hurt.
He doesn't get hurt.
Game.
And again, like,
if I was going to say the number of chicken fingers you ate.
It's also the under, although I could have eaten more. I would have, if I'm writing a list. If I was the CEO of the Vikings and somebody wanted me to objectively sit down and write down like 1 to 10, whose fault is this the most,
yep.
right? or who or what? Like, if you want to put the offensive line as a group, right? Because I still think that's kind of number one for me, even though you could kind of pair that with Spielman, because Spielman signed these guys, drafted these guys, didn't sign other guys, didn't trade for other guys. I would say, I don't know, Kirk's probably like 14th on my list. I mean, honestly, like I'm very happy with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah,
he's not again, like we just said a segment or two ago, he's not Drew Brees, he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's a solid, consistent, better than average quarterback who always plays. That's his track record. Yeah. He doesn't get hurt. He plays. He's
there.
He
took some hits this year too.
He's consistent, right? It's if you had a better offensive line, if you had a more cohesive unit with your offensive coordinator and your head coach.
Correct.
If you had...
which I think is going to come because Zimmer's going to relinquish his defensive duties and start looking at everything.
Yeah. If you had a healthy Dalvin Cook the entire season.
Correct.
If you had a legitimate third option at wide receiver. I'm not saying a superstar like we had a week or two ago on this show. Somebody called and said we need a third superstar. I'm talking about not Laquon Treadwell, not just a home run threat like Aldrick Robinson, but
right.
a legitimate third possession receiver that you can trust, you can count on. There's just so many other things I would point the finger at besides Kirk. Kirk
right.
wasn't perfect.
I agree.
But the people that are basically pointing this whole season and saying we paid him $84 million and he failed, that's just like when you're on the throne, all eyes are on you, right? And he's the quarterback. He's the face of the team. They went out and paid him a bunch of money. It's all guaranteed. Man, I'm sorry. This ain't Kirk's fault, if you ask me.
Yeah, and there's room for improvement. I mean, if you look at the quarterbacks we want him to be like, and all of these teams have good offensive line. Top five quarterbacks versus winning teams and their records. Aaron Rodgers, 21 wins, 29 losses. Tom Brady, 50-33. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Matt Ryan, 17-22. Drew Brees, 20-48. He's lost 48 times to winning court teams. So he doesn't have a great track record either. Russell Wilson, 19-12. So let's look at the Drew Brees. 20 wins, 48 freaking losses against winning teams. So
how can that even be right? He seems like he dominates.
That's what we think, because they are winning games and then they're getting to the playoffs and they are dominating, and that's all we see. But we forget that Drew Brees has been playing for a long time, and he's had some bad runs. He's had some 7-7 or whatever, 8-8, you know, record games. He's had some, you know, 6-10s. So Drew Brees is a product of finally having an offense that hits on all cylinders, an offense that does everything it needs to do. We have the pieces to get to that offensive type of game. We have the quarterback that can make the throws. We've seen it. We have the receivers that can catch the ball. We don't have five capable offensive linemen that work together, and we don't have an offensive coordinator.
The Spider-Man line, with great power comes great responsibility. We see that all the time in sports. Remember a couple years ago, Alex Boone was our big free agent signing on the offensive line.
Yep.
And he mostly was atrocious, and he was a locker room cancer, right? Everybody was driven nuts by him.
Yeah, he wanted to punch the Packers in the face and never did it. Yeah.
But all eyes were on him because they gave him big money.
Right.
Right, so it's all like you point the finger at the guy with the money, and I get it that's why Kirk signs up for that. When you sign that kind of a deal, temporarily the highest paid player in the history of the NFL, right, for a handful of days, but he was technically that guy for a second. He knows that kind of criticism comes with that
contract. So I have a question for you, and everybody driving home, close your eyes, except for the people driving. It's not Bird Box. Think about this. Close your eyes if you're the passenger. Can you name the Chicago Bears offensive linemen, like great guys out there right now on that team?
Of course not.
Right. That's the point. And they all did a good job, and they've been doing a good job for the most part in playing within their scheme. Bobby Massey, Brian Witzman, Cody Whitehair, James Daniels from, I think, Iowa, because I talked about we should have drafted him, and then Charles Leno Jr. Like, it's not like they have, like, these great names out there, you know, and, oh, my God, they have the best, you know, like the Eagles having, you know, one of the top tackles, or, you know, the Cowboys having one of the highest paid and Martin guards out there, and he's the best. Like, you don't need that. You need five guys that will play together. I don't know if these five are it, but you got to find five guys like last year, which they had it. So maybe Rimmers needs to go back to freaking tackle. Like, he did good last year. They were okay. Like, I don't understand that. Like, I get the movement of hurt guys and trying to move guys around.
Yeah.
But we need five offensive linemen because we have everything else. We have a defense. We have receivers. We have a running back. The Vikings have the pieces. They have a good coaching group. You know, they have good young talent. Like, they just need to find five offensive linemen, like they did last year, to play together.
You got
to
find five guys that get along, same vision, same dream.
And they will
same drive. Like,
and they'll
Danny
take pictures
Wood,
together and take
Jonathan
their shirts
Knight,
off and all that stuff. Like,
Jordan
they,
Knight.
They're a weird group.
Joey McIntyre.
What is that? New Kids on the Block?
Donnie Wahlberg. Let's take a break. We'll come back in a couple segments to go. And then tomorrow, Power Trip Morning Show, 5:30 to 9. We are live on New Year's Eve to break this down, and Ben Lieber will join us. This is Minnesota Vikings Fan Line on KFAN, Twin Cities News Talk, and the Fan Radio Network.
On third down, Cousins back to pass. Oh, he's hit, and he's sacked back at the 25-yard line. Eddie Goldman got him. Their nose tackle, Eddie Goldman, in his fourth year from Florida State, with his third sack this season. And on a win and in Sunday, the Vikings have gone 3-and-out twice.
Welcome back to Minnesota Vikings Fan Line. I'm Corey Cove from the Power Trip Morning Show. There's Ron Johnson, former Gopher wide receiver, former NFL wide receiver. We're taking your phone calls at 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. It's over for the Vikings. They were in a win and in scenario, but the caveat to that was they could have lost and had Washington help them out. That didn't even come close to happening because Philadelphia blew out Washington 24-0. So it looked pretty obvious in the second half of our game that the Vikings had to win to get in because the Philadelphia game was getting out of control. For most of the second half, I think the Vikings knew they had to win, and that didn't work out their way. 24-10, it goes the wrong way. The Bears defeat the Vikings, and the Bears send the Vikings definitively home. But, Ron, the show must go on. Your Minnesota Laborers Union hardest working player of the game goes to
Eric Wilson.
Yeah, he's played nice the last
eight
couple
tackles.
Of months.
He filled in for Kendricks yeah. Nicely. You didn't see, I mean, other than that first run by Howard, that was the 42-yarder. That was the only time where it looked like they were out of position. Other than that, he played a pretty good game. I mean, it was a 10-13 game until that 16-play drive. Like, that's where at 10-13, I think everybody thought that. Like, man, the Vikings, like, this is about to happen. Like, either they're going to kick a field goal and tie this thing, or they're going to go down and score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins is going to, you know, lead them to the playoffs, and then we're going to have a big celebration and champagne tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Like, no. Like, it stopped. But Eric Wilson led the team in tackles for, you know, another game, had a pretty, you know, dominant performance as far as keeping, because the whole Tariq Cohen bit, you didn't see it today. Like, you didn't see all the trickery and the screens and, you know, a bunch of stuff from him. It was, he kept him under wraps.
Quick update, pick six by Andrew Luck. It goes the wrong way for him, and the Titans are into the end zone, so they trail now just 14-7 to the Indianapolis Colts. Winner into the postseason, loser goes home. So Colts lead 14-7 with about 6.5 minutes to go.
No, Marcus Mariota is pissed right now. He can't play. Man.
Yeah, dicey, right? Let's see here. Who else do we have? We have, let's go to Chris in Sanborn. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How we doing?
Great.
First-time caller.
Welcome to the revolution.
Hello? Yeah. What do you got? What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. First-time caller. A lot of my questions were already answered already, but I appreciate you guys doing a good job. But just thinking, Mike Zimmer hot seat, yes, no. And Kirk Cousins, I liked the signing at the time. I still like it. I understand you could put us two and three other guys from the bar up here and block, but we got nothing other than that.
How big are
what
you?
What do you guys think?
Yeah. Well, we just kind of went through the Kirk thing. I'm a fan of Kirk. I don't have a lot of complaints about Kirk. He could have been better, but he could have been a lot worse.
Right.
My more intriguing angle in my mind is this first question. Is, I don't know, man. Just like we saw the growing sense of frustration with DeFilippo, and clearly 2 weeks later, basically Zimmer swung the axe and said, you're out of here, and he went with Stefanski.
Yep.
I'm getting the growing sense that basically starting in Philadelphia last year with that defensive performance, there's been this buzz of like, man, that was a weird spot for the defense to not show up, right? They didn't show up the second half of the Saints game of the Minneapolis Miracle, so big spot, defense doesn't show up. In Philly, big spot, defense doesn't show up. Today, right, big spot, defense can't get them off the field, 8-13 on third down. I think there's this underground sense of frustration against Zimmer from the fans. I don't think he's going to be fired, and I'm not even saying I would fire him. I'm just saying I think that the hot seat is definitely starting to warm up. I don't think he's getting canned this year. I don't think Wilfs or Spielman are going to make that call. I don't think anybody's going to get Zimmer fired. But I think there's probably going to be a couple of pretty blunt conversations this offseason about what has to change and new expectations, and that this kind of a season can't happen again, right? No wins against winning teams, right? Because the Dolphins ended up with a losing record. My guess is he's not 100% safe.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what could have been the just overall, all the exit interviews. I mean, I think all the exit interviews is going to be some come-to-Jesus conversations, because there's some, especially, you know, and think about this, though. Tony Sparano passed away, and I think we keep forgetting that. Like, this offensive line coaching even has been kind of makeshift, and then Todd having to move over to tight ends. I mean, everything just, like, all that stuff. You're going to need a tight ends coach, because that tight ends coach moved over to assistant offensive line coach. I mean, there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle they got to get back to solid ground again. So I don't think the Zimmer Spielman is the answer. I think it's getting back and solidifying who's your offensive line coach. Like, do you hire somebody there? You know, who's your tight ends coach? Do you elevate somebody? Because the PJ Fleck piece of that, how he hired his defensive coordinator at the end of the season because he did a great job his last four games, I think that's what Vikings fans were hoping with Stefanski. Like, it'd be so great, and maybe he get into the first round of the playoffs, and then, you know, maybe beat the Bears, and then he gets offered the job right on the spot. Like, yep, you're offensive coordinator next year. You're doing such a great job. No, they're going to have to go out. Everybody's going to have to sit down. You know, the owners and the vice presidents, they're going to have to sit down with Zimmer and Spielman as well, and everybody's going to have to come to terms with, what do we want? Like, what's our areas of pain? You know, can we get it done together, or do we have to move on? And I think everybody's going to have to be honest about that. It's a job. That's what, when you're a grown man, I don't know if I can say that this late, but, you know, if you're a grown-ass man, like, you gotta figure it out. Like, it's a tough, uncomfortable. I think Kyle Rudolph brought that up too, that he had an uncomfortable conversation about his usage. Like, there's going to be some uncomfortable conversations this offseason. Yeah. Like, should you be here, or should we move on without you? And then that's where the rubber needs to meet the road, and they need to be honest, you know, and not the whole Minnesota nice, we really like you, let's try this one more time. No, you got Kirk Cousins for two more years at this price. You got Adam Thielen, because, and after the next break, maybe we'll talk. I have a question for you about Adam Thielen. We'll tease it there, and y'all want to get your honest answer about this. And then you have to look at all these other pieces, the Stephon Diggs, you know, the Everson, is Everson Griffin coming back? You know, like, he might decide to retire. So that's where all that money, and how long is this true nucleus? Like, I know the Ravens loaded up back when they had Ray Lewis and Pete Bowyer and all those guys they added. That's where the Vikings are kind of at right now. It's like, do we have what we need to do to win a Super Bowl? Period.
By the way, quick update. Giant punt by the Colts after a drive stalled, and the returner for the Tennessee Titans completely botched the return, ended up muffing the punt, and the Colts jumped on it at about the 6 or so. So they had first and goal, actually got into the end zone, but a holding call or some kind of a offensive line call, didn't exactly see what it was, but pushed them back. So now they're first and goal from the 20, leading 14-7, but they were on the verge of taking a 21-7 lead before that penalty called it back. All right, one final break and then one final segment of Minnesota Vikings Fan Line for the season. That's Ron Johnson. I'm Corey Cove, and this is Fan Line on KFAN, Twin Cities News Talk, and the Fan Radio Network.
A jewelry site that has incredibly unique styles featuring your favorite gemstones. Drop hints about your favorite finds. Make sure everyone knows about DazzleMe.com.
This is the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, FM 100.3, KFAN.
Tight end Burton to the right, hand off to Rick Cohen, burst up the middle, and into the end zone, touchdown Chicago Bears. Their third rushing touchdown this game, and for Tariq Cohen, his 8th touchdown this season, third rushing, 19-10, Chicago.
Final segment of the year of Minnesota Vikings Fan Line. Again, thanks for listening all season long. Or if this is the first time you've listened all season long, that's fine too, I guess. Just listen to the Power Trip tomorrow and you can make it up to me. 5:30 to 9 with Meat Sauce and Chris Hockey. And Ben Lieber will join tomorrow as well. I'm Corey Cove.
From the gym.
Oh God, are you and Lake? You and Lake are the kind of guys that like you have to tweet what you're listening to at the gym.
I don't do that.
Just so we all know that you're working out. I work out. I don't post it online.
I don't. Do you?
Well, not in the last 4 months because of my back, but I was before that. I had like a good 2 year stretch. I was a late bloomer to the old exercise thing, Ron. About 35 years old, I'm like, I should start exercising. Then I got on a real good like two and a half year stretch, and now I feel pretty old. Back surgery.
No, I don't post the what I'm listening to at the gym. I just tweet about the people that I see that do the dumb stuff at the gym.
Got it.
Like the people that like to get naked for no reason and stand next to you and talk to you in the locker room.
Are they chicks?
No, you can't do that at that gym.
I don't know what gym you go to.
Do you know if they did that at gym? You know how many times Meat Sauce would go to the gym if women and men were in the same gym?
I still don't.
Locker room, naked?
Your West Bend silver lining moment of the game. Not a lot of things to get excited about Ron Johnson today. Was there something that stood out that we could call our West Bend silver lining moment of the game?
After the boos from the crowd of terribleness from the offense, the Matt Weil booming punt.
He did bomb one.
And then the coverage. With that, all the guys made it down the field. Zylstra missed the tackle, but hopped up.
Abdullah. Tariq Cohen, though, was spinning in his grave, essentially trying to get out of it.
Yeah, because he went left, right. Yeah, he just kept going backwards. But, yeah, and then eventually everybody was down there and then made the tackle. So, and then the crowd, I forgot what the net of that was. I don't know if it was a 50, 60 yard or whatever. But
nice punt.
It was tackled inside the 30. Then the Bears idiot guy got the running into the referee because he was pissed off and something happened and he got in the way of the referee. You can't make contact with the ref. Another 15 yards tacked on. So that was a great punt and dumb play by the Bears. So
all right, let's wrap up the Viking season because it is officially over now with the 24-10 loss.
There's still a chance.
No, they're out. Wrap up the Vikings fan line season with your last walk-off topic. And it sounds like you want to make that topic Adam Thielen.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. So what do you think Adam Thielen should be paid? Because he deserves an extension for sure. He's the 49th highest paid receiver. He is the top five receiver, though, on the field. What do you think? Like, do you think they just say, screw it, you're just going to play what we gave you? Or do you think they should try to come up with something to keep them happy?
Well, let's go full circle. Let me answer it by bringing back a topic that has been an underlying theme the entire show. Is Kirk Cousins and his 28? What does he make a year?
28 million. Yep. 84 guaranteed, 100% guaranteed.
So he makes 28 million a year, right? Do we think Kirk Cousins is worth 28 million a year, or is that what the market says he's worth?
That's what the market says he's
worth. Right. So I think Thielen's a top five or six receiver in the league, right? He's a top tenner for sure. So the market says he should be paid significantly more, and I think that that's what's going to end up being. The case is, you look at Stephon Diggs, we could sit here and argue all day whether or not Diggs is better than Thielen or Thielen is better than Diggs, and there's probably valid points to be made on both sides, but look at the money Diggs just got. And you look at Thielen's contract and go, something doesn't add up here, right?
Yep.
Is I know Thielen was the first one in, and he signed that deal before he got really this big pop the last 2 years.
Correct.
But that's not how the NFL works, right? The NFL works is if your status changes, the team has to basically penny up, right?
Because Diggs is paid like a top 10 receiver. He's the 10th highest paid receiver, $72 million, 14 4 year, 16 of that is basically 17 million is guaranteed, and his contract 24% of it is guaranteed. So Julio Jones is below him, Allen Robinson with the Bears is below him, Demaryius Thomas with the Texans is below him.
Yeah.
Adam Thielen is way down there. So I mean, in your mind and from what you're saying, if the market requires, do you say Adam Thielen's Doug Baldwin, Alshon Jeffrey esque, or would you put him above them?
I'd put him above that.
So then he has to get $50 million.
I think he does.
50 or 60. Because T.Y. Hilton makes 65. Would you say he's better than T.Y.?
I definitely think he's better than T.Y.
You think he's more explosive than T.Y. Hilton?
Yeah. I mean, but look at this season, right? He's a Pro Bowler for sure.
Yep. Agreed.
He's going to be in the conversation for All-Pro. How many All-Pros are there? Two or three?
Four, I want to say.
Four.
I think four because you get first and second. First team All-Pro, second team All-Pro. So I think four.
I mean, he's going to be in the conversation for that.
Yeah, true. Right? Yeah, he would.
It's hard to say that he's
Mike Evans, or not Mike, Antonio Brown, Mike Thomas, yeah. DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, those are the big
Brandon ones. Cooks.
For sure.
You know, so Jarvis Landry, AJ, well, not AJ Green, Devontae Adams. So All-Pro still is – it might not be there for him because you still got some guys.
He's just in the conversation, though. Which
yeah,
means
no, for sure.
As the 49th or
whatever,
Sammy
Watkins
is
getting $48 million with the Rams.
Higher.
So he's got to be in the 50-ish million dollar range, I think. But then
– And the Vikings
then
leverage –
Then you're losing something.
And, yeah, and the Vikings leverage –
Because that's $120 million in your receivers and $84 million. That's $200 million between three players.
And
two receivers and a quarterback.
This is a really weird spot because – The Vikings can come back to Adam and say, we know you're worth more.
Correct.
But we don't have that kind of money really to pay
right.
you. And Adam can say, with all due respect, I get that, but that's not how
this works. I might start
a
GoFundMe page for Adam Thielen to keep him here. Because if we can raise $15 million for a wall, we got to be able to raise $25 to $30 million for Adam Thielen.
Look,
and I wonder how many fans would. And if we don't hit it, we'll donate it all to the Adam Thielen Foundation.
Donate to me.
I'm going to start. Your chicken finger obsession?
No, just my payoff.
We basically just donating to Raising Cane's if we give you money like that.
I was going to say, just let me buy one, but I don't think they're allowing franchises anymore.
You would eat all of your profits. You never get high for your own supply.
Man.
You wouldn't be able to have a Raising Cane's. You would close just to eat by yourself.
Well, jotting down some new goals for 2019, like own a Raising Cane's. Ron,
tweet to me if you would donate to the GoFundMe Adam Thielen Stays in
no.
Fund.
They donate by buying tickets to this
three-rod Johnson.
Stadium,
but that doesn't go directly to Adam. My $20 million would go right to, 18 of that would go to Adam. I'm keeping two because I'm his agent for that.
Power Trip Morning Show tomorrow, 5:30 to 9. Thanks for listening to Vikings Fan Line all season long. For Ron Johnson, I'm Corey Cove, and this has been Minnesota Vikings Fan Line on KFAN, Twin Cities News Talk, and the Fan Radio Network.